Where do we find God? This month, I'm attempting to answer that question in a sermon series that I'm calling Finding God in Unusual Places. And I hope this series will help us pay more attention to where God is present. Now, sometimes we're just so busy or stressed out or preoccupied by other things that we miss seeing God's presence. And I think this is particularly true when life feels chaotic and unsettled. We may not even think to look for God in those moments. Now, to help us reflect on this, we'll turn to a passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 8. In this Scripture, the disciples find themselves in a terrifying situation when a wild and crazy man crosses their path. Disciples weren't interested in looking for God's presence at that moment. They wanted to get away from that man and go back into the boat they'd just gotten off. But Jesus had other plans. And Jesus, the way he responded to that man, provides us with some insight on where we can find God. So let's listen now to this Scripture. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open to Luke chapter 8. And I'll read verses 26 through 39. Again, it's Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Not afraid, I have called you.
Back in 1986, Tom Hanks starred in a wacky comedy called The Money Pit, where a couple buys a million-dollar house for pretty cheap, and they initially think it's a huge steal. But things started falling apart the moment they took possession of that house, and before long, they realized it wasn't a bargain because there were so many problems with that house. And when they attempted to renovate it, things only got worse. Their home makeover spiraled out of control, and it almost drove them bankrupt, and it nearly destroyed their relationship. Now, I think we all can relate to this, not because we've necessarily renovated a house of our own, but because we know what it's like when some part of life runs amok and everything goes wrong. It's a chaotic experience, and nothing we do seems to help. Now, when things are falling apart, we often don't expect to find God in those places. And yet, the simple truth is that God is already present, even in the most unexpected places. The word omnipresent is sometimes used in religious books to describe God, who is present everywhere at all times. There's no place that you can be that God is not also there. In the Gospels, we see that Jesus showed up in the most unexpected places. He showed up when people were troubled or confused. He went to those who were suffering and hurting. He even tackled situations that most people avoided because they were too afraid to act. And it seems that Jesus was always putting himself in the position to help other people. Earlier in Luke chapter 8, just a few verses before the passage that I read, Jesus and his disciples had taken a boat ride across the Sea of Galilee, and everything was fine until a storm came upon them. They were hit with torrential rain showers, lightning bolts flashed across the sky, waves came from every direction. Their boat began to fill up with water, and the disciples feared for their lives until Jesus calmed the storm. Shortly thereafter, they made it to the shore, but they weren't able to rest and relax because Jesus had taken them to a place that they otherwise would have avoided. It was a place that they feared. Luke tells us that they landed in the country of the Gerasenes. It was on the opposite side of the sea from Galilee. This was a foreign land for them. It was Gentile territory. And it was there that they encountered a deranged man who lived in a cemetery among the tombs. Scripture says that he was possessed by demons. Now, some people today may argue that he was suffering from schizophrenia or some other type of mental illness. Truthfully, we just don't know what was going on, but it is clear that he was shunned by his community. They didn't think he was fit to live near them. And the way that they treated him only added to the chaos going on in his life. The genius of Jesus is that he used that moment, as he did so many other times, to teach the disciples. And to be honest, any moment for Jesus can be a teachable moment. And this was one of those moments. Now, the disciples, unfortunately, weren't always quick to catch on to what Jesus was trying to teach them. Many times, they were silent because they were confused or perplexed or baffled by Jesus. And that's what we see happening in this story. In fact, their silence is deafening. At no point in this episode do we find any communication going on between Jesus and between the disciples and Jesus. They didn't ask any questions. They didn't ask for an explanation from him. And not even Peter, who was so outspoken on most things, had anything to say. Now, this shouldn't surprise us because those disciples were in a foreign land. They were probably experiencing some culture shock. Plus, they were shocked by the sight of that screaming, wild, naked, and deranged man. It froze them in their tracks. And I can imagine the disciples slowly backing up from him and trying to get back into the boat. They wanted to go in a different direction. They wanted to retreat. And I think this is what can happen to us when we find ourselves in some uncharted place in life that has us puzzled or confused or unsettled. When life feels out of control, we are often quick to retreat and return to those places in our lives that are comfortable and manageable. When life is chaotic, you know, we tend to feel vulnerable and helpless. And so I can fully understand the desire of the disciples to return to a safe place. And yet it's precisely in moments like that that we should stand our ground and meet our challenges head on, because God may very well use that moment as a teachable moment. And it's in moments like this that we have the opportunity to learn how to live life with an unflappable faith. But if we turn away from whatever situation is making us feel unsettled or confused, we're denying ourselves the opportunity to grow in our faith. Unfortunately, Jesus shows us how to respond in these types of situations. And so when we find ourselves facing a situation that leaves us feeling unsettled or confused or troubled, we can follow the example that he gives us here in Luke chapter 8. And there are several lessons that we can learn from him. First, we learn that Jesus is unafraid of going to places he's never been before. Now, we don't know if Jesus had any history of going into the country of the Gerasenes. This may have been his first visit there. But maybe he went there because he heard about a sick and deranged man, and he was concerned. He wanted to check on him and offer his help. Of course, we have no way of knowing what drove Jesus to visit that land. And he had no idea of what was waiting for him when he got there. But Jesus wasn't afraid. He was prepared for the unexpected. And his visit made a huge difference. Like Jesus, we need to prepare ourselves for the unexpected. And we need to do this because life has a way of throwing us curveballs that creates lots of chaos. And so at some point, we all will face situations that we've never encountered before. One of the ways that we can prepare for these situations is by nurturing, cultivating, and practicing our faith. When we do this, we find the strength to face our challenges. We have the confidence to face whatever comes our way, no matter how frightening it may be. And we will trust that God will lead us through. A second lesson that we learn from Jesus is to see the situation for what it really is. Now, Jesus engaged that deranged man who was startled that anyone would want to help him. You know, I can see Jesus greeting that man, not with a stern, unemotional face, but with lots of love and compassion. Jesus was caring for that man, and what he wanted to do first was address that man's, he wanted to meet that man first before addressing his needs. You'll notice that in the scripture that the first thing he did was ask for that man's name. And that man replied by telling him that it was legion. Legion in the Greek literally means mob, which is fitting given that situation. This man was possessed by a mob of demons. There were just too many to count. They had taken over his life, and he had lost his identity. Heck, he didn't even know his real name, and that just shows us that he ceased being himself. His life was out of control, and so he spent his days living as a raging lunatic. But by getting to know the man, Jesus was able to see more clearly what was going on. It helped him better understand the situation. That deranged man also sensed that Jesus was truly interested in him. A bond of trust immediately developed between them, and he knew that Jesus could help him. He trusted Jesus. When life rattles us and feels chaotic, we should seek out people that we trust so that we can deal with what's bothering us. A trusted friend or a trusted counselor, for example, can provide an objective perspective that helps us see more clearly what's going on so that we can then figure out how to best deal with our situation. And one final lesson that we learn from Jesus is to loosen the grip that the situation has on our lives. You know, when life is feeling chaotic or confusing, when something heavy like that is bearing down us, it can feel all-consuming. We may even feel like that we're stuck with no way out. The man in our story was chained up, and he was stuck living among the tombs. But once he met Jesus, and once he realized with the help of Jesus that he was going to survive and get better, the chains that bound his arms and legs finally fell off. And I think the first chains that were loosened were those emotional, psychological chains. You know, when we're faced with tough situations that seem insurmountable, fear has a way of tightening its grip on us. It makes us think that there's no way out. But if we acknowledge our fear and then let it go, whatever we're facing begins to feel a little less burdensome. Now, because Jesus took the time and the effort to help, the man in our passage no longer feared his situation. And as a result, he returned to his community. And I think he probably began to reach out to others who were going through their own tough times. If you will, he paid it forward as a result of what Jesus had done for him. Now, Jesus had intervened into his life to give him hope, to give him a new life, to help him face his challenges. Jesus gave him purpose by sending him back into the community. And with this new outlook on life, his situation felt a whole lot lighter. Jesus continues to intervene by helping us deal with the hard things that we face in life because he wants us all to experience healing and wholeness. But Jesus's intervention doesn't always lift us out of every difficult situation. Because we have faith in Jesus doesn't mean that the hard things that we face will just magically disappear. Sometimes we have to live with those things for a while. And yet, even when that happens, the Lord will empower us to live with faithfulness and conviction so that those difficult situations might be transformed with the help of the Holy Spirit. Those situations can still be tough, but we won't be overwhelmed. Now, after that man was healed, he really didn't want to go back to his community. Instead, he wanted to travel with Jesus. But Jesus said to him in verse 39, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." It wasn't easy for him to return to his community because His neighbors had treated him so poorly. But by sending him back into his community with a healed body, mind, and spirit, people would begin to see what God has done. They would ask questions, and that would give that man the opportunity to share his testimony. He could tell others about how he met Jesus in a place of death among the tombs, and he was healed. He was given new life. Now, we can find God anywhere and everywhere, including those parts of life that feel out of control, chaotic, or even dead. But whatever the situation is that troubles us or makes us feel confused, Jesus reminds us to not be afraid to face it. We should try to see our situation for what it is. So don't let it control you. Instead, look for the presence of God, who is ready and willing to lead you through it.